Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all
I do. That I feel deep down inside. What is this? That keeps setting my soul on fire. Whatever it is, church, it won't let me. Oh, my peace. What is this? God, folks say I'm acting strange. What is this? Makes me want to run on in Jesus' name. Ever it is. Oh, it won't let me hold my peace. Makes me love my enemy. Ah, it makes me love all my friends. And it won't let me be ashamed to tell this old world I've been born again. Yeah, what is this? Got me feeling so good right now. What is this? Makes me want to run on. Oh, anyhow, whatever it is, I know it won't let me hold my peace. Have I got any witnesses here today? Who lie on you and talk about you, and then it makes you love all your friends, and it won't let you be ashamed to tell this whole world again. What is this? Got me feeling so good right now. now. What is this? Thank you, Jesus. Makes me wanna run on anyhow. Whatever it is, it won't let me. So grateful to God to know him for myself. Last Sunday after preaching at 7:45, was preparing to come here to 11 o'clock. And next thing you know, I was preaching on spiritual warfare and helping the believers to understand 2 Chronicles 10:4-5, which says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And God opened up some eyes and some minds concerning the enemy and his kingdom, and the devil got mad. And listen, I just want to throw this out parenthetically so you'll understand it. He attacks the folk who attack his kingdom. If you ain't bothering him and his kingdom, he ain't bothering you. But just try tearing his kingdom down. And there will always be a personal attack against you to try and keep you from doing what God has anointed and appointed you to do. And so those who were around me wanted me to go to the hospital because my sugar had gone up and my pressure had come down. And I said, this is a different feeling. This is not normal. This is not natural for me. It's spiritual warfare. And those who cared for me medically said, well, along with the EMS, I think we need to put you on monitors and see what's going on. I said, I'm telling you what's going on. And then one of my doctors was there, and I said, doctor, I said, you're my doctor. I'm going to acquiesce to what you say. I said, because this is your area of expertise, but I'm telling you, this is spiritual warfare. And he said to me, listen, we're going to deal more with that in just a minute. He said, but for this time, I just want to make sure that's what it is, and I don't want anything medically to be wrong, because I don't want nothing to happen to you under my watch. So let's let them put you on all of the machine and do all of the tests. By the time he got to the hospital, I was sitting up in the hospital bed, full of life, energy, vigor, and vim and vitality. And he said, who is this? I said, the one I told you, let me go on to the north location and preach my message, because this was just spiritual attack from the enemy. And when they did all of the testing and everything else, they found out everything was well, all was good, everything lined up. And by 2:30, I was on my way home. Don't tell me God isn't good. It pays to know the Lord and the working of the Lord. It pays to understand what God is saying in his word, so you can know how to operate in kingdom business, in spiritual warfare. And my brother, my sister, listen, these are the last and evil days. And believers need to get it together.
You don't need to go run for nobody. The Holy Ghost, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you know the word and can speak the word and come against the enemy, he's giving you the keys of the kingdom to bind those things here on earth, and he'll bind them in heaven. You loose them on earth, he'll loose them in heaven. You got authority. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. That's why you put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's one of the reasons why we want to know and want every believer to know the word for themselves. I do believe a time is coming, and it may be in our lifetime, when they start, putting strong restrictions on believers and those who carry the word of God. And if you don't learn how to take that written word and put it in your heart, as David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There's going to be a time when you reach for the word and you won't be able to read it. But isn't it good to know that it's in your heart and nobody can take it away? Hallelujah. I won't be before you long. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Gracious God, bless your word today. Bless your people afresh. Move and minister in this text. Help us to see ourselves, understand the principles that you are sharing with us so that we might practice them for profit, giving you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and to those who are the hearers and doers. First six words of the text, and he went a little farther. My brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you to go a little farther. There are things in our lives that we must press and push through in order to get to our breakthrough. There are blessings and benefits just beyond the break, just beyond our reach, just beyond our grasp. But many of us will not obtain them because we don't know how to go a little farther. This word is such a rich word. It's helpful because Jesus gives us in these verses an understanding of his personal sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was preparing for spiritual battle, while he was getting ready for the assignment he had been sent to earth to complete. In verse 36 through verses 46, those 11 verses reveal much about what Jesus did in preparation for this battle that he was going through. And one of the things that I think is so helpful for us is to understand that everything that was written in the word, the Bible said, was written for our learning as an example for us. Why? So that we will know how to take the principles and practice those same principles and reap the same profit. In other words, what God is showing us through the written word, once we take those principles and practice them, they become the living word. The expectation of that word is that God will do again what he has already done. God will do again what he has done before, if we are willing to do what those who have done it before us have done. And so it's important to understand that Jesus is giving us a prime example of dealing with spiritual warfare, preparing yourself for spiritual battle, and how to handle these things. One of the things that you're going to note, my brothers and sisters, is he says, or the text says, and he went a little farther. Now, how did he go a little farther? First, he went a little farther logistically. But what does that mean? Strategically, he had 11 disciples with him. The 12th disciple, Judas, left from the Last Supper and went quickly to tell all those who were in cahoots against Jesus to get ready, because Jesus was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, whatever you have to do, go and do it quickly. Judas left to betray Jesus. So after the supper was over, they left out and sung a hymn, and they ended up in the 36th verse at the Garden of Gethsemane. He leaves 8 of those disciples at the entrance. Then he takes Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and he brings them in closer for a close encounter of the spiritual kind. But they were not unfamiliar with the closeness of the spiritual kind, because Matthew 17 chapter says Jesus brought them up the Mount of Transfiguration with him when he met with Moses and Elijah to discuss the Calvary experience. He met with Moses, the great lawgiver, and with Elijah, the great prophet. And he was bringing, listen, the fulfillment of the law for Moses and eclipsing Elijah as the great prophet. And so when you recognize that Peter, James, and John were there, and they got so excited, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, 3 churches, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. God split the heavens and spoke, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter was trying to build a worship service center for him on the mountaintop. And Jesus was trying to tell him, no, I'm winning souls for eternity. We can't stay here. And then, of course, you know what happened. They go to the bottom of the mountain, and a man brings his lunatic son and recognizes that those disciples could not heal him. Those are the ones he left at the entrance. He brings Peter, James, and John a little closer because they were intimates who were able to endure a little more. They were a little more mature. Now, and then he went about a stone's throw away from them. He went a little farther. So logistically, look at how he placed this thing, and look at what it says to us today, that there are some places that everybody who's in your circle now won't be able to go with you. That there are some people connected with you now where you are destined to go, they cannot go. It is clear that the 8 he left at the entrance weren't able to handle the things that he needed them to be able to handle for this experience. And the 3 that he took that were intimates, Peter, James, and John, were more mature than they who were left, but they still were not able to endure the experience themselves. That's why only 2 Jesus asks them to watch with him. But the 2nd time he asked them to watch with him is in the 41st verse, and he adds to that this time, watch and pray. Now, incidentally, he didn't say watch, fight, and pray. Like some of the old saints say, not in this part. He didn't say that. He said watch and pray. This is why. That ye enter not into temptation. Here's what he explains to them. The spirit indeed is willing. Listen, but the flesh is weak. Now listen to this now. He says this to them in the 40th verse. He finds them sleeping, and he says this in the 41st verse rather. He finds them sleeping in the 40th verse. He finds them sleeping again in the 43rd verse. And he finds them sleeping again in the 45th verse. By that time, he tells them, sleep on. Take your rest. Now, here's what Jesus recognized, that the spiritual stress and strain was too much of a struggle for them. And so their bodies were so tired and exhausted under the stress that they went to sleep. I understand better now why on Sunday morning, on some of the pews in the church, that somebody sitting next to you can't handle the stress. And they nod off because the enemy rocks them to sleep like a baby. Because they're not prayed up and watchful for what God is doing in the spirit, to hear what God is saying in the spirit. They just came to church and the devil rocked them on to sleep. But if they hear something like, I'm getting ready to close now. And then they wake up. But that, listen. They don't understand. The enemy's desire is to keep them from knowing the word of God and operating in that word. And so they could not handle the pressure of the spiritual attack from the enemy. Jesus said, all I want you to do is watch and pray. He, listen to this. He never told them to pray for him. He told them to pray for themselves. And they couldn't even do it. So he went a little farther logistically. But secondly, he went a little farther literally. Because the Bible says, and fell on his face and prayed. So he went farther than them literally, not just logistically in terms of distance, but in the physical and the spiritual realm, he went further than them as well. Why? Because he knew what was up ahead. He knew what was at stake. At the beginning, when they entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus felt a great sorrow underneath the skin. And when he began to feel sorrowful and heavy, that was a spiritual attack against him. Then in the next verse, it says he felt so sorrowful, even unto death. Now, what's important, his soul, the word says, his soul, that word comes from the Hebrew word psyche, which is the word we also get breath, which means that the very breath in him seemed like it was leaving him. That is the breath of life, that animated part that gives life to the body. It felt like he was so heavy and burdened that he felt like he was about to die. Why? Because he sensed the army of the enemy closing in on him. Here's what he knew. The devil tried many times before, and even then, to kill him before he got to Calvary and to the cross, to spoil the plan of God so that the plan of redemption for man would not be so. If he could kill Jesus before he got to Calvary, mankind would end up in hell. And Jesus sensed this warfare and sensed the enemy trying to take him out before Calvary. And that's one of the reasons why he had to stay focused and go where he went by himself. That reaches a time, my brothers and sisters, there are some things and some battles you're going to have to fight. Nobody can fight them with you. You're going to have to fight them by yourself. And you're going to need to know what to do to fight them by yourself. You try everything and everybody, call on everybody, but they can't help you because there are just some things you're going to have to walk alone in. And so physically he bowed his face to the earth farther than any man. Spiritually, the word says, and prayed, because Jesus knew what was important to not only the assignment, but to his anointing, and that was to stay in the will of God. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing more the devil desires than to take you out of the will of God. Your blessings stop flowing when the devil takes you out of the will of God. Your fellowship stops flowing when he takes you out of the fellowship. Everything that's meant to be for the connected Christian to the Creator ceases to be when you are out of the will of God. And if Satan can take you out of the will of God, you come to church every Sunday. You serve on whatever board you want to be on, in whatever ministry you're in, singing from the choir, even preaching from the pulpit. If you're out of the will, you're disconnected. And all you are is one going through the motions because the power ain't there. Simply going through the motions. No joy. No peace. No happiness. No strength. No power. Because you're disconnected from the will of God. You come, but you're not touched because you're not connected. And so you want to be entertained. And if you're not entertained, then you seek to go where you can get some entertainment at. You can't be alone because the loneliness is a burden more than you can bear. You can't stand to have it quiet because you can't. The thoughts that are running through your head are so powerful against you that you got to blast the music so much so that it almost blows your eardrums out. You're so impatient, you can't stop at a stop sign. You got to run through them. All of the restlessness underneath the skin is because you are out of the will of God. And Jesus knew that. And he prayed in the spirit and went farther to make sure he was connected to the will of God. And then the last thing I want to tell you, he went farther lovingly. Listen at his prayer language to the Father. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, listen at this now. He says, this cup speaking of the Calvary experience, because he knew three things had to happen because of the Calvary experience. One, he had to shed blood. Two, he had to die. Three, God had to raise him from the dead. Now he was saying, God, my father, just like Isaac said to Abraham when he went up that mountain and he saw all of the things except the sacrifice. And his father Abraham had to tell him, God will provide himself a lamb. And this was the lamb that Abraham